Hi, everyone. This is Grace Abu-Hamid. We're going to get started. I'm going to just wait until we start the recording. So, operators, can you start the recordings, please? Okay, we are recording. Welcome, everyone, to the first CWG Stewardship Webinar. It's the 11th of June at 6:01 UTC. Your presenter today is going to be one of our co-chairs, Lis Fuhr. She's representing the Danish CCTLD and on the CWG as part of the CCNSO appointments. I will turn it over to Lis now.
Thank you, Grace, and welcome, everyone. As Grace said, I will do the presentation of this webinar, and later today, my co-chair, Jonathan Robinson, we'll do another identical webinars at 1300 UTC. These calls are interpreted live by request, so this call will be interpreted in French and Chinese. There is another webinar at 1300 UTC will be interpreted in French and Spanish. And I'd like to remind you all that the final documents will be translated, including the slides. During this webinar, I'll do a walkthrough of the presentation, and then I will welcome any questions to be taken in the end of the presentation in writing, or you're welcome to raise your hand and ask questions. As you see, this is a webinar about the CWG stewardship, about the IANA stewardship transition, and the title is Towards a Final Proposal. And I can assure you this has been a long journey. Next slide, please. So I'd like to start with a little statistics about the CWG stewardship group. As you see, we have 9 members. Those have been chosen by the chartering organizations. There are 5 chartering organizations. There's the CCNSO, the GNSO, the GAC, ALAC, and SSAC. But furthermore, we have had 133 participants. And we have all been a group and participating on almost equal terms. Out of these 100, and it says 153, but in my math it should be 152 CWG members. The regional representation is, as you can see, we have 36 from North America, 42 from Europe, 48 from Asia and Pacific, 12 from Africa, and 14 from Latin America. We can see that the Asia-Pacific is the most active region. And if you see on the circle to the right, you can see that the GNSO is the most active stakeholder group. But we have also had 50 participants that are unaffiliated to an ICANN, SROAC, and that's really a good sign that we have activity beyond the ICANN world. We have had 94 calls. We've had almost 5,000 hours of volunteers. 4,700 volunteer hours going into this group. There's been a total of almost 4,000 emails on the mailing list, and the average numbers of attendees per call has been 35. So as you see, we've had many people putting in many hours and a great effort into making a solid and very comprehensive proposal. And we as chairs recognize that many have put aside other important work in order to reach the overarching objective to get a proposal to the chartering organization in due time before the ICANN meeting in Buenos Aires. That's going to take place in a week's time or so. Next slide, please. This CWG stewardship is part of a process. And NTIA announced in March 2014 that they wanted to transfer the stewardship of IANA to the Global Internet Society. And ICANN then established two groups, the ICG and the CCWG, on accountability. And this, the CWG stewardship, is part of the ICG track. And the CWG, as you can see on the slide, is actually responding to a request for proposal, an RFP, from the ICG. So this work that's been done, the CWG proposal, is a response to this request for proposal. But there is also two other communities that has responded to this request for proposal, and that's the numbering community. They have formed the CRISP team. And we have the protocol community that formed the protocol, IANA plan. And the CWG is the naming community. So we are three communities that are sending in proposals to the ICG. That's the naming, that's the CWG, the CRISP, that's the numbering, and IANA plan, that's the protocol community. So we all have the same format for the response to the ICG, and the ICG will compile this response, and the ICANN board will transfer, as you can see on the slide, this response to the NTIA. But as you see, there's two processes linked to our process. There's also the ICANN accountability, and that's specific only for the naming communities. That the CWG proposal is actually conditional on the work that needs to be done within the CCWG. And why is this? Well, the CWG has a special, more direct link to the accountability because ICANN is the policy body for domain names as well as the current IANA functions operator. We will return to this linkage later in this slide deck, so we'll talk more about this. You can see that the ICANN board is going to send in the proposal to the NTIA, and the ICANN board has actually confirmed in ICANN at 52 in Singapore that they would not alter the ICD proposal, so they would pass it on to NTIA. Furthermore, it's important to notice that the NTIA has underlined that they will not accept a proposal that doesn't have consensus from the communities. So these are the processes for this proposal, where we are a part with two others. Next slide, please. What are the goals and scope and requirements for this group? Well, the goal of the CWG is to produce a response to the ICG that meets the need of the names community. We have the GTLDs and the CCTLD registries are the direct customers. As you can see, the goal is that the proposal must meet the needs of the naming community in general and all of the chartering organizations, the CCNSO, SSAC, the GNSO, ALAC, and GAC need to sign off for this proposal. And this is serving the direct customers, including the GTLDs and the CCTLDs. The scope has been focused on the NTIA list of IANA functions, and they can be found in the link that's on the slide. But we have focused on on the function that's 2 to 9 and 11 of the list of the INF functions, because those are the ones that we found apply to the naming communities. And, well, the requirements, we have worked as a CWG under the premise that there is satisfaction with IANA and ICANN as an operator. So that was the main premise. And then we have identified other parts as part of our public comments and also of community goals, where we found that a contract similar to the current IANA function contract should be included, accountability mechanisms on ICANN with respect to IANA function operations. We would like to have additional insulation between operational and policy-making responsibilities and protection for the IANA functions operator. And the mechanisms to approve changes to root zone environment should be included. The ability to ensure adequate funding of the IANA functions by ICANN, and the ability to, for the multi-stakeholder community to require the selection of a new operator for the IANA function if necessary. And we will get into further how we solve this in the next couple of slides. Next slide, yes, please. The initial process has been, well, as you can see, this has been a quite long journey. A charter was developed by the SOs and ACs in August and September, and the initial meeting started in October during the ICANN 51. So the CWG began its actual work in October with over 150 in total in the group today. So one of our first key milestones was actually the first proposal that was put out for public comment in December 2014. We made a first go on how a model could look and set it out for public comment. And as you can see, we received 60 comments, and we analyzed those during a very intensive weekend in January. And the feedback from this public comment was that the model that we first envisioned as being the model for the IANA transition was too complex. And furthermore, the proposal was not detailed enough. So we had to adjust the timeline and prepare a second draft, because the first goal was to submit a proposal by the end of January. So this goal could not be met because there was not enough support for the proposal. Some of the key takeaways from that was also that the community was satisfied with the IANA services, and it was preferred to retain the IANA operations within ICANN. They asked for expert legal advice on the structure and needed assurance on the accountability. And as I said before, we had both too much and too little detail in the proposal. Might be too much detail was that it was a too complex setup we have envisioned, and we tried to work with this. So ICANN 52 was actually a turning point from this group. We got into Singapore and entered with four structured models, and we left with seven. It was highlighted from the communities that the group lacked operational specifics, so there was a need for the CWG to get into more operational details in the proposal. During the ICANN meeting, we did not yet have legal counsel in place, but we tried to make to reconsider the way we worked with the proposal. So we established agile new working methods by creating design teams. So we disbanded the RFP groupings. That's been done before. We were working very structured after the RFP, and that was a too big chunk to work with. So we divided the work in smaller groups that would work and submit small proposals on their specific issues very fast. And that actually increased the pace of the group and the output. Next slide, please. So this slide gives you a brief overview of where some of the key milestones were in our work. In March, 6th of March, we actually retained a law firm for legal consultation on the structural discussions. This legal company was Sidley Austin, and this is the same as the CCWG Accountability Group is having as legal advisors. This was needed earlier, but we took some time in finding a legal company that would have the right knowledge and right independence. And Sidley has assisted the group with more than typical legal input. It's been a conversation, a responsive partner for the CWG. In Istanbul, we had a meeting in Istanbul in March, and we came in with 7 models. We converged these into 2 structural variations with assistance from Sidley. And there was a great willingness from the CWG to compromise and really work hard for a solution that would be agreeable to all. So we find this is the multi-stakeholder model at its best. So this was very good. In April, we went into a public comment with 1 structural proposal. This was concluded over 2 intensive working days we had in April too. Again, a lot of hard work and actually 2 days where people had to attend 3 times 2 hours calls. And it's been amazing how this group has been able to work long distance on calls during 2 whole days. I must really compliment the group. This is, it's been a great effort. Well, the end of the public comment has been reached, and we have had 55 community submissions received. It's been over 300 pages of been established in an analysis and review tool. Every comment was read, and we've considered it, and it's been a very important part of the development of the final proposal. Furthermore, the CWG has done 3 readings of the final proposal in order to have it worked through by the group and give every participant a chance to raise any concerns. So today, we're submitting a final proposal to the chartering organizations. They will have 14 days to review and approve the proposal. And the CWG aims to deliver a proposal for the ICG by the end of the ICANN 53 meeting in Buenos Aires. So it's been a long journey, and you can see it's been a lot of calls, meetings. We've had 2 face-to-face meetings. And there's also been discussion during the ICANN 52 meeting with the group. So I must say it's been a complex work that's been accomplished by this group with a great effort and a lot of work put into it. Next slide, please. As I told you earlier, there's a linkage to the CCWG accountability, and this slide shows the linkage. We have the two processes going on. We have the IANA stewardship transition, and in parallel, the ICANN accountability is doing their proposal. Workstream one of the accountability group is focused on solving the issues in relation to the CWG stewardship, and our proposal is conditional on the work of the accountability group. We as chairs has acknowledged this early on, and we have coordinated with the CWG chairs as soon as the CWG got started. They got started on 8th of December, so our first coordination call was on the 12th of December. And by then, our first draft proposal was out. That was in 1st of December. So there's been they have not had the same track. So it was very important for us in December when we realized that we needed to do a lot of coordination to get this established as soon as possible. And instead of doubling the work, the CWG and the CCWG has worked hard to communicate and coordinate the work. And we continue to do so. We have weekly calls, and we actually also do a lot of writing together. So we're confident that the CCWG will deliver on the requirements that we have set up as a group. And as you can see, we have set up requirements on the following respects. And one of them is the community rights regarding development and consideration of the ICANN budget. This is part of the empowerment of the community rights. Another one is the community rights regarding the ICANN board, specifically the ability to appoint and remove members and to recall the entire board. This is also a part of linked to our proposal. Here we have the IANA functions review that needed to be incorporated into the ICANN bylaws, and the CSC, the Customer Standing Committee, that's also to be incorporated in the ICANN bylaws. The independent review panel should be made applicable to IANA functions and accessible by TLD managers. So all of these mechanisms are to be provided for by ICANN bylaws as fundamental bylaws. We will, as chairs, continue to work with the CCWG to make sure that these conditions are met. And furthermore, as I mentioned before, we are having the same legal advisors, and this is very helpful in order to ensure the linkage and conditionality between the CWG and the CCWG. And it is this conditionality that actually empowers the community to vote on the CWG stewardship in June. And it's also this conditionality that retains influence through the review of the CCWG work later in the year through October 2015. Furthermore, it's also very important to know that over 70 individuals overlap as members or participants in both groups. So we have members working within the CWG, that's also doing a lot of work in the accountability group. So the community coordination is naturally there too. So there is a linkage, there's conditionality, but there's also a lot of coordination between the groups. Next slide, please. So here is the model in the proposal. To the left, you can see that's the current status with the NTIA. And to the right, you see the proposed future status. It's very important to know that this is a symbolic representation of the fact that PTI is a legally separated entity, but it's an affiliate of ICANN. So the IANA function operation stays within ICANN. The structure is very important, but so is the detail, of course. So the first public comment gave CWG premise to work with, and that premise was that customers are satisfied with ICANN currently, and they wanted the IANA functions operator to remain within ICANN. So this has been the main premise for the work. But the group has instead made this legal separation, and I will talk to this on the next slide, but I would, as you see on this, we have established some other organizational groups that will ensure the accountability and also ensure the work of the post-transition IANA, the PTI. And as you see, the proposal is suggesting a customer standing committee. And a customer standing committee will be composed of direct customers. They will handle the day-to-day performance. And the CSC can escalate through accountability mechanisms and through the GNSO and CCNSO council. And the CSC is not excluding that the customers can do any complaints or escalations, raise any issues to the PTI itself. They will add an extra opportunity. So the customers can try and solve the issues directly with the PTI, or they can, as a secondary service, issues of complaints can be sent to the CSC as either an escalation path or as a first, as an escalation path. No, it's me. So if the customers are not satisfied with how the PTI is performing, the CSC can take complaints and look at those. Furthermore, the proposal is suggesting an IANA functions review, and we have two reviews that will exist. There is a periodic and planned reviews, and there is a possibility to have a special review in case of a need for a review that has to be dealt with outside the periodic. The IFR is not limited in its scope or span, and one of the outputs could be a separation. The IFR reports directly to the ICANN board, and there is the supplement of accountability mechanisms if the board does not consider the recommendation seriously that comes from the IANA functions review. So that's what you see. We have this orange account or brown accountability line around it all, and that is the accountability mechanism that's going to be established in the accountability group. And one of those is that if the IFR is not, the recommendations from the IFR are not met, it can be taken care of by the accountability mechanisms from the accountability group. So it's very clearly that this new structure is reliant on the output of the CCWG. So this group has, our group, the CWG, has focused on the continuity and the stability of the operations. It's been prior focus, and that is why the separation would only be needed in the case of an extreme and as an absolute last resort when all the other options have been exhausted. So as you see, we have the possibility of a separation, but it's a last resort. We have a lot of other steps that need to be taken into account before you ever go into thinking of separation. So next slide, please. And as I told you, we had this independent legal input. And we had Sidley Austin retained as a law firm in March. And they have helped research and parse through the different models and variations between them. And as you see, we had the legal input, and we had Sidley participating during the meeting in Istanbul. And we came into the Istanbul meeting with 7 models. We left with 2 models or 2 variations, and we have concluded on 1 final model. And as the client, the law firm has been interacting with the client committee, but also been present on a lot of CWG calls and been given advice and answering questions from the group. So they have been a very interactive and helpful relation to the CWG. So the last decision on the structural model was made right before the release of the second draft of for public comment. And that was if there was to be legal or functional separation. And the group chose legal separation for this. And this is because it enhances the separation between the policy and operations between ICANN and IANA. It allows for a contracted entity. It gives the opportunity for ICANN to enter into a contract with IANA. It safeguards against ICANN bankruptcy. And it's also giving us an opportunity to ring fence the IANA function and therefore make it ready for any separation if needed. So that's been the overall purpose of doing, the motivation and purpose of doing the legal separation of the IANA function. But as you saw in the last slide, it stays within ICANN, so it's only a legal separation. As you can see on the bottom, we have received quite a lot of research and memos from Sidley, and those are noted in the bottom where it says seek significant legal input delivered. Next slide, please. So one of our accountability details is the post-transition IANA. And what is the mission of this? It is established to perform all existing pre-transition IANA functions. So it is assumed that ICANN will have PTI perform the total of all functions, even if the protocols and numbering maintains their agreements with ICANN instead of the PTI. Well, the scope is that the existing IANA Functions Department, Ministry staff and related resources is to be transferred to PTI. And the PTI would be founded by ICANN and an affiliate, but it would be a new legal entity. As we talked about before, it's a ring-fenced both as functional and legally from ICANN, but it stays within ICANN. So a lot of discussion has been about the PTI board, and we have settled on the PTI exist to operate the affiliate to meet the statutory requirements and perform according to the contract and the associated service level expectations or agreements. And the composition is envisioned, the composition of the board is envisioned as follows. We have one ICANN executive responsible for PTI. There's one ICANN CTO. It's envisioned that the IANA managing director is part of the PTI board, and then to have two independent directors. So this is a very lightweight board with a mission to operate the existing IANA functions. Next slide, please. And then we have another accountability detail, the Customer Standing Committee. As you can see on the slide, and we talked about it on the overall slide, this is formed to monitor day-to-day performance. It's a replacement of the operational responsibilities that's been performed previously by the U.S. government. There is a proposed charter for it. There is remedial action procedures proposed, and working methods are in the proposal. So this is a group that will look at the day-to-day performance. It's not the charter will describe what their what they will look at, and we will, but it's envisioned that they ensure that the SLAs are met in due time. So members and liaisons are appointed for by their respective communities in accordance to their internal processes. And the member terms are envisioned to be 2 years with an option for 2 more years. And a chair is elected annually by the CSC itself. So the group is to meet at least once a month via teleconference. And there will be public meeting minutes. Transparency is an important part of this. And general updates should be provided no fewer than 3 times per year. And the group is envisioned to consist of 2 GTLDs, 2 CCTLDs, one additional TLD representative, that is non-GTLD and non-CCTLD, and a liaison from IANA, and a liaison from each ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees. Next slide, please. The IANA Functions Review Team is envisioned to, as I said, to have two This is ambition to be the regular periodic review, but there is also a possibility of creating a special review. But this IANA functions review will have its first review in 2 years' time, and then a review will happen on a 5-year cycle, or as by special requests from the CSC, GNSO, or CCNSO. So the reviews are performed to ensure, or the reviews are formed to ensure PTI's performance on accountability and, of course, the quality of the service. And reviews can recommend adjustments to the IANA functions operator performance or the IANA statement of work. And if necessary, the reviews can also recommend separation, but this will launch a separation cross-community working group. So they're not to go into further detail about it, but just recommend it, and then a group needs to be formed. And it's very important to notice that the IFR is an actual multi-stakeholder body. The IFR will be appointed by the team members and liaisons will be appointed by their respective communities in accordance with their internal processes. And the IFR is formed so each review process, so it's not a standing team, it will be formed for every specific review. And you can see there is going to be 2 CCNSO members. It's going to be 1 CCTLD member that's not a CCNSO. There's 2 registry stakeholder groups, 1 registrar stakeholder group, 1 commercial stakeholder, 1 non-commercial stakeholder group, 1 GAC member, 1 security and stability advisory committee, 1 root server operation advisory committee, 1 at-large advisory committee, 1 CSC liaison, and 1 PTI point of contact, which is not a member of the review team. So this is the team that's going to perform reviews every 5 years, and the first time will be 2 years after the actual IANA stewardship transition. Next slide, please. So, where are we going from here? Well, the next step is that the CWG stewardship send a proposal to the chartering organization for consideration and approval. There's been a lot of progress in the last 8 months, and it's just 8 months, and the group will continue to work tirelessly until anticipated delivery of its final proposal to the ICG in June 2015. So one of the key next steps is actually to include continuing work for about the SLE and to continue coordination with the CCWG accountability group. So we still have the ongoing work on SLE in line with IANA plan and CRISP. We work on our service level agreement. And we do this in close coordination with ICANN's IANA staff. And we will continue to refine our proposal, will continue to refine their proposal to enhance the ICANN's accountability. And we as CWG stewardship has confidence and confirmation that our requirements will be met. We have in our proposal made it very clear there's a clear conditionality that we need to have our requirements met, otherwise our proposal need to be sent back for revision. So this linkage has been done in the proposal, and it's done between the two groups and chairs. This was the final slide, and I will take any question, comments, remarks from now. And I haven't been able to follow the chat, so if any questions has been raised in the chat, I need them repeated. Oh, I can see. What is a TLD rep, not a G and not a CC? That was on one of the slides. It's Sebastian who asked this. This is, I think it's a minor error in the slide. It's meant to be a member that's not a member of the CCNSO nor the GNSO. So that's it's a TLD that is either a GTLD or CCTLD. It's I can see Grace is saying other communities such as ARPA, Legiti, like MET.mil. Sorry for the confusion. And Grace corrected me. Thank you. And I see a question. Is there any definition on how long it will take the NTIA to report to Congress? And then as the vote today stated, there is 30 days after which a proposal can be accepted. I am not aware of any definition of how long it will take NTIA to actually report to the Congress. And I have a question from Pam Little. The majority of the PTI board will be ICANN staff, 3 out of 5. What is the thinking about that? And the thinking behind having the PTI board with ICANN staff was actually we discussed to have what we call an internal board. And if we wanted to keep the IANA within ICANN, there was a need to have an internal board, unless you would have to get a lot of echo. Someone is not on mute. Unless you would have to create a lot of new accountability mechanisms. So by having an internal board, you keep the legal affiliate within ICANN. And that is why we have 3 internal ICANN as the PTI board. And then you would have the already established accountability mechanisms to ensure if the IANA board is not acting in accordance with the wishes of the community. And someone is asking, what are the main changes compared with the previous proposal? The previous proposal was that we would establish a contract code that would actually hold a contract between IANA and or hold the contract between ICANN and the community. This was considered to be too complex a model, because then you would have who is accountable for the contract co, how is the accountability mechanisms ensured here. So this was, and it was considered a model where the IANA function could be outside of ICANN. And having had those public comments saying that we wanted to have the IANA functions inside ICANN, but with a possibility for separation, the compromise was to keep make the IANA function legal, have a legal separation, and make it affiliate, and then we would. And then you would have the accountability mechanisms ensured here, instead of if we had the contract co. And I see someone asking in the statistic, can I know how many African countries have contributed to the proposal? I don't know if we could have staff help you with getting that. Paul Schindler is asking, to follow up on the previous question from Pam, is there 100% clarity on the remaining two members? I read the proposal as at least three members. It's very difficult to follow all the chats, and so sorry to be a little slow on this. And to be clear, would there definitely be five, and where would they be from? Well, as far as I'm concerned, the proposal says there should be five, but where it's clearly defined where the three comes from and the two rest could be coming from other parts of the community, or it could be ICANN board directors. So, and I don't know if my co-chair, who's on the call too, can help me regarding this question. Okay, I see another question popping up. Have you looked at the impact of this reorganization on the AOC and bylaws mandated organizations? And of course, the AOC would vanish, but the same reviews would need be recreated and made mandatory, or would this only be dealt with in the accountability side? That's Alejandro Pisanti. It's going to be dealt with on the accountability side. We have made some requirements, and how this is to be recreated is to be dealt with in the accountability group. Second question, do you think you have created incentives against a split IANA in favor or neutral? I'm not sure if I understand it correctly, but actually what we aimed to do was to create a model where we kept the IANA function within ICANN, and actually we had a very positive feedback on IANA as the operator, and a wish to keep IANA within ICANN. But on the other side, people would like to have the possibility, if anything goes wrong, to separate the IANA. function in extreme cases. So this was the purpose of the legal separation. It's not to create incentive against a split IANA. I can see Paul Schindler has his hand up. Paul, go ahead. And I'm sorry, yeah. it's really difficult to keep track on the chat and the questions here. So if I skip someone, please re-ask them, and then I'll try to answer them. Thank you. Paul, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Lisa. I just chatted to Grace on the back channels about the possibility for verbal interventions, because even I can't follow all the chat at the same time. My point was that I made a little bit earlier, which wasn't quite resolved, was about the structure of the PTI board. I understand that we're looking at 3 staff out of 5, but I'd noted some wording in there about at least 3, so I'd like to go back to that to check whether that is the case or not. And my question was about how the other 2 would be selected. There was some reference to perhaps some sort of NOMCOM process. Has there been any clear resolution on that, or is it still up in the air? And if you wish to defer on that question to someone else later, that's fine, but I just wanted to make it clearer because it was difficult to convey in chat.
Actually, there has been a lot of discussions about it, and I must admit I don't recall the final outcome of it. So sorry to not be able to answer that one.
Thank you. I'll lower my hand in a sec.
Yeah, and I can see that Jonathan in the chat noted that 3 to 5 board members, we have not forced an election mechanism but recommend a rigorous process such as NOMCOM for the 2 independent directors. And I see Daniel Sean asking, the 2 independent directors of PTI board is from NOMCOM of PTI. I mean, PTI has a unique NOMCOM. No, it's ICANN NOMCOM, as also answered by Jonathan. Olivier, your hand is up. Go ahead.
Yes, thanks very much, Lisa. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Just one thing to note, that someone is taking the questions from the chat and putting them in the notes box, so it might be worth going through many of the questions which are in there. But I had one question myself with regards to slide number 12. And in slide number 12, it explains the IANA function review. And it says in there, the high-level scope, review cycles, first review to occur no more than 2 years post-transition, then every 5 years, or by special request of CSC, GNSO, or CCNSO. And that's, of course, the special IANA functions review. Should this not be a special request of all 3 rather than either of these 3? Because at the moment it looks like it's either of these 3. So the GNSO could call a special IANA functions review, or the CCNSO single-handedly could call an IANA functions review. And I'm not quite sure that we discussed that. Thanks.
Thank you for that question, Olivier. But as I recollect it, you can raise a special request, and you might have a special request from one of the communities. You might have a CCTLD issue that's only related to the CCTLD, and that request would enable a special IFR, even though it's only raised by the CCTLD. And furthermore, it was discussed that the GNSO could do likewise. So it's my opinion that this would be discussed with the other groups, but it was also, it should be able to raise a special review. Is that a new hand, Olivier, or an old hand? I have a question from Julie Hammer. I didn't answer. Your written proposal mentions a standing committee to recommend on major architectural and operational changes, but this is not represented on these current diagrams. The standing committee is actually, I'm not sure if I, if I understand it. It's the question, Julie. If the customer committee is actually overlooking if the work that Diana is doing is according to the service level agreements and the contract on the operational issues. You're written. I'm not sure I understand it. It's mentioned on page 35, paragraph 155. I don't see that as I get a hint that it's not a formal entity as such, but it's proposed to be a kind of a standing committee. So this is not on architecture as such in the proposal. And I see Grace is mentioned to Julie in the chat. It's not a formal entity as such, but yeah. And it says open the audio in Adobe to help the exchanges, please. It's Sebastian. And I see a question from Nikki. Where will be the registries of IANA entity? I'm not sure I understand this. The registries of the IANA entity. IANA is not going to... The registries will be the GTLDs and the CCTLDs. And Feng is asking, I may overlook some points. Where will PTI be located, preferably international jurisdiction? Feng, as it is by now, it's... It's an affiliate of ICANN. ICANN is located in California, so the jurisdiction is California law, and it's located in the U.S. as it is now. And Grace is saying, if you would like to speak using your computer microphone, please hit the button at the top of the room to raise your hand and your microphone will be enabled. Sebastian, your hand is up. Hope your microphone will be enabled. Sebastian?
Yes, thank you. Now I guess I am online. It takes a little time the way
yes,
it's done today. Thank you very much. But I think we must open this discussion to all. It will streamline the discussion. Yeah, my question is how many people you will need to fulfill all the positions open in your proposal? And the second question is how you ensure that there is a balance in the people name in those positions. Thank you very much.
How we ensure how many people are described under each group, like the CSC, we have described how many people in the IFR, and ensuring the where those people come from will be the actual choice of the different ACs and SOs of ICANN. And we have tried to ensure that, of course, you have the supporting organizations and the advisory committees appointing members, but there should also be room for members that comes from outside ICANN regarding we have registries that are not a part of CCNSO, and we have registries that might not be part of the GNSO. So we have tried to ensure this. But it is the selection is done by each group itself. And Sebastian, if not, please get back to me.
Thank you, Liz. I really think that it's a discussion inside the CCWG, but I think it's very important that all the body created take into account the diversity of ICANN and not just the diversity at the level of the membership in one SO, AC or whatever grouping within ICANN. Regional balance, gender balance, cultural balance and so on and so forth must be taken into account at the start of the creation of those bodies. Thank you very much.
A very valid point, Sebastian, and I hope that all the groups take this into account themselves as an overarching goal for whatever they do, because I think that's an important premise of the multi-stakeholder model. I see a question from Alejandro Pisanti, a strategic question. What is the fallback plan if this huge structure is not accepted or turned out not to be implementable in a realistic time frame? Well, the fallback plan is that it stays as it is, because if this huge structure is not accepted, we don't have any other opportunity. And it, if it turns out not to be implementable in a realistic time frame, we have done some assessment of the time frame. Of course, it's dependent on the accountability working group. But I must say, we have had a legal counsel looking at how long it would take to do the implementation. And that was not anything that would scare. They had an assessment of 3 to 4 months of the legal part, but of course that can also always be prolonged by a lot of other issues. But I think there should be a willingness to have this implemented as soon as possible. And I see my co-chair has raised his hand. He might want to get in on this question, too. Jonathan, go ahead.
Thanks, Lisa. Just joining via the mic there. Sorry for the delay. I just would like to disagree a little that it's a huge structure. There's obviously been a lot of thought and care gone into this, and we've been very comprehensive in our analysis, and we wanted to present that in these slides. But actually, it's a relatively lightweight structure, but with relevant oversight to ensure that the right functions are met. So when you first hear all of this description, it seems like a lot, but in essence, it's a company, a small company, holding the relevant components, and then with some key oversight mechanisms. And where the complexity really comes in is if and when things go wrong. And that's when you need to have a series of overlays built in, make sure those are dealt with properly. But for the most part, day-to-day, week-to-week, and month-to-month operations should continue in many ways very similarly to as they do today. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you, Jonathan. And I agree, this is a legal separation. It's not envisioned to be a completely other physical structure. And I see a question in the chat asking Yiya, why not consider to call for a bit to operate PTI? And that was actually one of the outcomes of the first public comment that people would like the IANA functions to stay within ICANN. So we didn't envision that there was a need to bid for the operation of a PTI. People were satisfied. We just want to ensure that you always have the incentive for IANA functions to operate as at their best. Xuan Zhang, you're next. You have your hand up. Go ahead.
Hi there, Lisa. A question on page 12 of your slide. The last point of second paragraph. You mean if deemed necessary, the IFR can recommend separation. So I just wonder what kind of thing. You mean separation of a PTI from ICANN or just an a function from the PTI? So what kind of separation?
The separation would be actually to hand over the IANA function to another operator. So that would be if PTI is not performing well enough, someone else should take care of the IANA function.
So, okay, I understand. So where is the PTI going? Just dismissed?
Well, that would be up to ICANN to decide. But it could be there could be different choices, and that would not be for us to decide up front. And I have a question from Feng. Will PTI be the subsidiary of ICANN, another non-for-profit company? And Grace is answering the CWG has proposed an affiliate of ICANN, likely the California Public Benefit Corporation. And I see people are typing. Any other questions or remarks? Julie, go ahead. Julie? Judy, we can't hear you.
My apologies. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
My apologies for the delay. I just wanted to pick up on what both you and Jonathan said. I've actually read the whole document, having not been a part of the CWG, and I would like to compliment you both and the whole very large group on what I thought was a easy-to-read document, despite its length, and a very sound proposal. I don't think, as Jonathan said, I don't think it's too complex. He's quite right when he says that it only gets complex when things start going wrong. So I just wanted to say well done. I thought it was very, very sound.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you, Julie.
I think it also comes to the whole group and great help from Mike and staff. Thank you. Any other questions? Yes. After the CWG proposal to submit to the ICG, how does ICG cooperate with CCWG? What is the process? The ICG is going to compile the three proposals and send out for a second second, but for a public comment. And the work between the CCWG and the CWG is going to be ensured by the CWG and the chartering organizations. And I'm not really sure if the ICG will be much part of this, since it's the conditionalities that's been settled by the CWG. So I see it more as the work for CWG to ensure that those requirements are met. And well, the process after the ICG is actually that they send it to the ICANN board after the public comment, and they will pass it on to the NTIA. And seems CWG is depending on ICG coordination with other communities as well, with ICANN and NTIA. But I didn't see any effective measures taken so far by ICT to communicate with ICANN or NTIA. Will there be plan B if any of them didn't buy the proposal? We have seen a lot of cooperation from all communities with ICANN and NTIA, and a lot of ICG members are participating in the different subgroups. We have Martin Boyle and Nitzel Mueller from the ICG being part of our proposal. And I think by having this interaction and a lot of interaction with the ICANN community, and the letter from NTIA is not giving me any concerns of that there's been too little communication from the ICG to ICANN or NTIA. I think this has been, they have been waiting with this communication until they had the three proposal and would give that communication task to the subgroups, which have been doing a lot of communication with ICANN. And NTIA has been part of all the ICANN meetings and has expressed their views during the process. So where one of the views were that we should get into more operational issues, and we did. So I wouldn't be so concerned about this part, that there's a lack of communication. I think there's a lot of communication. And regarding the Plan B, the CWG has not a Plan B. I don't know if the ICG has a Plan B. And there is another question, Xian Chang. Go ahead.
Lisa, just feel that so far most of the comments are from individual registry or registrar. So have you heard any objection from GAC or from government? I just wonder whether at the limit GAC is against that proposal, so what will be done? Are they comfortable with the proposal now?
We have had a lot of communication with the GAC. The GAC has been part of the group too. I cannot speak for the GAC as a whole, but there has been interaction with GAC during the meetings in Singapore. We have had, of course, GAC members on the call all the time as members and participants. And we will have and do presentation for the GAC during the ICANN meeting in Buenos Aires. So my sense is that GAC is following this process very closely. We haven't had any signs that this is unacceptable. So for what it is, we can only do a lot of communication, and we have done that. And by not hearing any concerns raised during the public comments from the different countries, I would think and hope that GAC would accept the proposal. But I have no firm evidence of support. But okay. Any other questions? If not, we're 6 minutes from the half hour where we are supposed to end this call. And I hope you got answers to your questions, and if not, you will have a second chance at 1300 UTC, where Jonathan will do a second webinar. There will also be chances during the ICANN meeting in Buenos Aires, where there'll be a lot of interaction with the communities, where we will do a joint town hall meeting with the accountability group. And it's possible to listen into this on audio and as Grace is putting in the chat, there is a list of all the ICANN 53 transition related session in the link she's posted. And I see Matogo Jabera is asking, can I get more clarification on how CC will perform its operational responsibility? Well, the CC will, will meet once a month, and they will report back to the group, the communities every at least three times a year. So transparency from all their meetings. So it will be possible to see what's been discussed and asked. But the CSC is not as such meant to be a group that's doing any other than raising if there's an issue and then escalating it to other, to the CCNSO and GNSO. I hope that fulfills your question. And I have another one, and that's going to be the last question, because we're 3 minutes before the end of this session. It seems that after public comments of ICG, the ICG will submit the proposal to ICANN board without waiting for the CCWG until October, But as NTIA said, the transfer said that the transition will not happen without a good accountability proposal. I'm still curious about the process. And that is a very good question. There will be two parallel tracks. You would see that this proposal will be submitted to the ICG that needs to work with it and actually compile it into one. And at the same time, you will have the accountability group working on their proposal. And by having done our proposal conditional on that the requirements are met, this is possible to actually have those two tracks working in parallel. So this will be the actual track of this the process of this will be that hopefully in October we will have the accountability part in place in order to actually have it submitted to the NTIA. Okay. And I actually also see Jonathan is writing in the chat that CSC will monitor performance and interact with PTI management, yes. And the mission will be achieved through regular monitoring by the CSC of performance of the INN aiming functions against agreed service level targets and through mechanisms to engage with the INN functions operator to remedy identified areas of concern. Yes. And I see Mathieu Ville is saying the two tracks will work in parallel and probably deliver roughly at the same time. Thank you, Mathieu. And Mathieu is one of the co-chairs or the chairs of the accountability group. So that's why he can answer this question so firmly. Thank you, Mathieu. Okay. Thank you for joining this call, and I hope to have as many of you listening, joining the sessions in Buenos Aires, either by physical attendance or by using the Adobe Rooms that will be made available for you for these sessions. Have a nice day, afternoon, morning, wherever you are, and I hope you got answers for your questions. Bye all.